Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Fini the Vesuvio podcast. And disclaimer, headful warnings, this might get a little bit hectic and loud because today we're solely going to focus on one topic and one topic only. And it's going to be the Juventus-Napoli fiasco that happened over the weekend. Now, as you may or may not know, I myself did a quick Instagram live. A couple days ago, I think it was on Thursday, with Danny from Six Side Calcio. And we talked about it then and there when everything was still fresh. So obviously, we took some time, Sereno and I. We were going to record yesterday or the day before, but we took some time to reflect on it, take a step back, let our emotions drain out, and come back to it with what we want to say and saying it in the best way possible so that everyone gets, I guess they understand where we're coming from more. That's probably the best way to put it. It's just to put out an argument that is, yeah, it's going to seem biased. I understand that, but you have to, what we're trying to do is prove a point from where we're coming from. Now, having said that, Sereno, go ahead.
Okay, so where do you want me to start from? Because there's a lot of spots that I can. Right from the top. Okay, so should we go all the way back to the Genoa debacle?
Yes, actually, okay.
That was the number one thing. I was pissed before this game was this whole fiasco with Campagna blocking the travel and the game and, you know, all that. Before that, I was already annoyed because how is it possible that Genoa, with only two confirmed cases, goes to Naples, plays Napoli, and the next day they have, what, 14, 14 15? Including 8 14, first.
It went up to 22, and 8 of the 11 first-team players they tested positive a day or two after.
I'll be totally honest. When I saw that, I was concerned for my players because most important is people's health. Is the game, the sport is secondary. It's only, you know, the most important thing should be health and safety of players' families, the community in general. That's the priority. That should always be the priority. So I was already annoyed when I saw that all of Genoa's team ended up, basically a lot of them, by the end of the week, turned up positive after just playing Napoli. So I was under the impression that, okay, a whole team in this league just tested positive, essentially. I thought that the whole round was going to be postponed. I didn't think it was just going to... I thought Napoli was a no-brainer. I'm no epidemiologist, but I have some knowledge in how things work and contact tracing. It's been the subject, basically, that we've been hearing worldwide is everything to do about this coronavirus, you know, stopping the spread, contact tracing. I'm pretty sure if Napoli plays a team that basically 8 first-team players test positive the day after, even though the first rounds of tests come back negative or you get 1 or 2 players, if you know the incubation period is 14 days, you can go ahead and probably assume that a lot more players than 3 or 4 players are actually positive for COVID. So I don't know. I thought that it would have been a no-brainer that the league would have postponed matches. I thought they were going to postpone all the matches to avoid a full lockdown. Because honestly, I think if Napoli-Juve gets played, we head towards a full lockdown like we saw back in March when they stopped the whole Campionato. So I don't know. That's my view on things.
Yeah.
That's the main
thing. So I'm going to back onto that. And before the Genoa match, when I saw that they left with 2 players positive, Perin and Scone, in my heart of hearts, I knew that's not just them. It can't be.
No.
It can't be because if they tested negative beforehand and the virus had not incubated in that period yet, they are having close contact with the team. They were going to training sessions. They were talking with other players, manager, staff, whatever. So, and this is a day before the match they test positive. So you have to start thinking, well, they must have had this for at least 7 to 9 days already, and nobody knew about it, right?
Exactly.
So in those seven to nine days, anything could happen, right? It's the same as saying, okay, you go to work one day, all right?
Okay.
You go to work, your coworker is there. They've tested positive before. They've had a test before. They've tested, negative before. But they have the virus. It just hasn't incubated yet. So you go to work. You're in contact with that person.
Yes.
You're doing a job that you're in contact with, let's say construction or in the medical field, right? Yes. Anything. So within a week, they start feeling some symptoms. They get tested again, and they're positive.
Positive.
Right? Positive didn't happen like that. Positive doesn't happen like that. Positive doesn't, in the blink of an eye, happen. Positive happens because you're already pre-exposed to it.
Exactly.
So now you're exposed, and whoever else was contacted was exposed. And regulation here in Ontario is if you've been exposed by somebody, you have to remain in self-isolation for either 7 days or 14 days. I can't remember. But you have to remain. 14 days.
It doesn't even matter if you get tested. It
doesn't even matter if you get tested positive or negative. You have to isolate regardless.
100%.
Right? Yeah. And I don't know what the regulations are in Italy, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're the same. Or at least some form of self-isolation has to occur.
So there's a lot of angles to this. It's not just so cut and dry. So the policy or the protocol that was being followed by Serie A and Juve is technically a UEFA policy. That being said, it's like UEFA is not public health. They're not well versed in the way things work. Obviously, I'm sure they consult some sort of public health when they're making these guidelines. But isolated cases like an Ibra or whatever, like you probably could isolate that player and this and that. But when you know that your whole team has come into contact with so many cases, it's honestly, it should be common sense that the way that it should have properly happened, this Napoli Juve had to have been postponed, because what
is all the way around it?
Napoli, okay, they had one or two, but during this whole week they've been training, preparing to play Juventus. So during training, those positive cases that haven't come up yet, the virus is spreading through the team. The proper thing would have been, okay, Napoli, you played for 8 players of Genoa that tested positive. Starting the next day, everyone's going into isolation. We're doing 3 tests, but the team is not able to get into contact with each other. When everyone gets 3 tests negative while isolated, then we go back and we play. But that wasn't the case because, even though people are saying Napoli wasn't following protocol, technically they were, because protocol, they still had to train. They still had a game on the weekend. Technically.
Yeah.
So what do you want us to do?
So was hold on. So we don't follow protocol. We get blamed for it. But Genoa was following protocol.
Exactly. Genoa seemed like were they French kissing in the fucking change rooms?
So that argument already has no ground to stand on. Aww. Because you can't say we can't follow protocol when a team before us has already had 22 cases. There's no argument.
It could be an argument. Public health blocked them. You can't go and make these extreme accusations. These guys, they cry wolf every time that people say, the Juve called in for Suarez's language test, and they freak out. But now you're throwing this whole big ass accusation that De Laurentiis is falsifying them not being able to travel because we don't want to play you guys during a global pandemic, like after so many. I think that's disrespectful.
You just opened up a can of worms. Because I've heard that argument. I swear.
Because there's been so many people that passed away. That's disrespectful, in my opinion.
It's such an. Oh my God, what's the best way to put this? Because I don't want to say something wrong now, because I've been heated over that specific argument for 3 days now, because that's what I constantly keep hearing. Even on our own page, on the Napoli Club Toronto page, on the last post we have, there's this one guy who keeps – I stopped arguing with him because there's no point in arguing with someone like that. But he keeps commenting that the real reason we didn't want to play is because We were missing Insigne, Elmas, Zielinski.
Doesn't matter.
I'm no egotion of hope if we're missing Insigne, Elmas, and Zielinski.
Give a shit. I think Napoli have prepared to play.
We had depth. We didn't have Insigne Politano's there. We didn't have Zielinski Demis there. We didn't have Elmas Lobotka's there. It didn't matter. We had our asses covered anyways.
Of course.
Either way, had positions covered. We would have played that match.
We were at the airport. No, they were on their way.
We were at the airport. We were on the bus at Capodichino, ready to leave. And they got blocked because ASL, which is another topic, because ASL, I believe, is an independent body from the region itself. But the region, De Luca, has been putting new mandates for stricter protocols because there's a rise in spikes.
Luca's another one that annoys me, but anyway. It's a different.
Can't really get into politics on this podcast because.
Especially Italian politics.
It's a whole mess.
But no, I don't think. There's no way this team was scared to play Juventus. 0%.
Juventus came off a 2-2 draw against Roma, who looked like garbage, and they looked worse than them. We're coming off a 6-0 win.
We're deflecting. That's just deflecting the real issue. Right now, the sport is secondary to you know, people's health. And even the, I think De Luca said, you know, in Campania, where the Napoli players live, they're experiencing the highest surge of cases that they've seen in the entire pandemic.
Yes.
So, obviously, Genoa coming to Naples and spreading the virus, you know, sparks, you know, alarms for...
Well, of course, it starts sending out red flags because the southern part of Italy, when the first outbreak happened in March, was pretty good. Like, of course, the northern provinces got hit harder, and you know what? It's terrible that it happened. It really is. It really shouldn't have happened. This whole situation shouldn't have happened, but it happened. They got hit hard, and it's in the past now. There's nothing you can do about it. But now when you're starting to see the same thing happen again, but in a different region. Now it's in the southern regions, right? You're going to take every precaution because you're going to go, I'm not going to say that word, but in March, there was 400 deaths a day. They didn't have enough morgues or... They couldn't. They had to mass bury the people, which is another thing that's really sad. They can't even get a proper burial. It destroyed that country. It destroyed that country.
You know what? And
other countries in the world.
That's what annoys me the most. Like, our country was hit so bad by this virus, and you're joking around with cases as if this is like, oh, well, show up to the game. Who cares? You can have two or three kids.
Exactly.
But like,
exactly.
Who cares? Cases is another thing. But when you play a team that literally the next day that you play them, they have 10 or 9 or 8 positive cases that you just played them, that's a very high risk situation that you've been infected. Your team is going to have an outbreak, you know?
You know what that shows? It just shows how negligible and how disconnected can really be.
No, the league is 100% at fault. When it comes to the Juve, 100%. If Juve was, which it seems like, and this is where Juve is wrong. I get that there's a protocol. There's a point where you got to look at the protocol and say, you know what, this is wrong. You know, you got to morally think, you know what, this is wrong. You got to stand on the side of, you know, this is not a good idea. Our players could possibly get infected. We could spread this virus more. Napoli just played Genoa that has 20-something cases. Yeah. We don't want to play this game. Juve knew Napoli couldn't travel. And Juve saw it as an opportunity to get some points early in the season. And that's what they did. And that's 100% despicable, in my opinion. I think that's
all right. 100%. I just want to make something clear before I add on to that. Up until this point, what we are talking about when people are saying, who cares, come play the game, we're talking about isolated cases of, like, the bad apples, I guess you can say. Apples.
I'm not generalizing, everybody. I'm talking about the Sociedad. I'm not talking about fans right now. I'm talking about the show.
No, no, before when, because we were talking about, there was some people who were saying, we're talking about isolated cases in that.
Yeah, way. Exactly. There's stupid people in every fan base has their, you know, loud mouths that like to, you know, just stir up pot, right?
Exactly. But, yeah. And I want to make this clear too, that my problem, at least my problem, is not so much with Juventus' Sociedad than it is the league. All right? Because, sure, I agree with what you said, Sereno, that it is an act of solidarity would have been nice.
Would have been nice, exactly.
It would have been nice. An act of solidarity would have been nice where they didn't have to put on, like you said before we started recording, they didn't have to put on such a show, releasing the starting lineup, we're going to take the field, letting the fans come in.
If anybody was scared, I'll tell you right now, if anybody was scared to play this game, it's not Napoli, it's Juventus. Because they want to get those points. They want to get those points early in the season. They have a fresh coach. They want to get those early points in the season. Definitely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame them, but the fact that, you know, you're trying to capitalize off of a global pandemic and a virus is kind of shit, to be honest. And see, I know there's
here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that they're capitalizing on that moment. They're capitalizing on the misfortune that Napoli were blocked. They're not capitalizing on the virus, Serrano. You have to make the distinction here. They're capitalizing on the fact that that Napoli had their hands tied. And because the league protocol said, well, you have to have at least 13 players to play. If you don't show up, you get the tavolino 3-0, right? Juventus saw that opportunity and said, well, they're not here. Well, no, that's not really because of the virus. That's because they got blocked and they had their hands tied, right?
I mean, yeah.
You have to make that distinction, because otherwise you get into a whole messy argument that's really not needed.
I'm just thinking out loud right now.
It's annoying. I get what you mean when it's annoying. It's frustrating because it's a despicable. Yes, I agree. It's a despicable act for a team to do such a thing and not have any sort of stance of solidarity, which I want to remind everyone that when the first outbreak started, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but I think I'll post a picture of it. I have it on my phone on the club accounts. The Napoli fans put up banners saying, in this time, there is no rivalry. There is no rivalry in this time. There's no rivalry, right?
United.
So that is a perfect example of an act of solidarity.
That's it.
From one team towards another, right? Or from one team towards the entire northern region, for that fact, because that's what it was directed.
That's what the north. A lot of people talk about north and south, and we get made fun of for cholera outbreaks back in the 80s and things like that. But at the end of the day, as incorrect as people call Napoli fans, I think that we're one of the most correct fan bases in Italy, to be totally honest. That just shows right there. At that point, Bergamo was being hit really bad. There's a big rivalry between Neapolitans and Bergamaschi, and Napoli fans put that on the side burner. And
yes,
you know, they focused on what really matters, and that's, you know, people's lives, people's health, and soccer doesn't mean shit at the end of the day. Doesn't jack shit.
And that's what I really want to focus on when I'm talking about the Juventus side of things, is that, you know, there's a possibility that our players have already been infected.
I'm 100% sure that you're going to see in these next few days that a lot of Napoli players have COVID-19.
Yes. And then on top of that, if the match was played, your own players would have been affected.
And you're bringing
and
in...
Then,
that's it.
And then when you go to train, the staff members are now infected. And then when you play the next match, the next team gets it. And it's a cycle. It's cyclical.
You got to stop those cycles right there. After a whole team tests positive, I thought Serie A should have been like, you know what? We're taking a 2-week hiatus. Everybody's got to sort their shit out. Go into quarantine. See who's infected or not. And, you know, be in quarantine. Because we don't want to do the whole season. I get these protocols are in place so that football isn't stopped, but obviously they're flawed in certain ways, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's not.
This is where the direction starts shifting away from Juventus, who were technically following protocol and honestly could do whatever they please.
I can be annoyed about
towards
that.
Towards the league,
they followed the rules. I guess that technically they followed the rules.
And you know what? We can't have a say. All we can say is what we would have liked to happen. What we would have liked to happen is an act of solidarity.
See that, hey, you know, Napoli can't travel. You know, this is probably the best thing for our players' health and safety too, considering Genoa just had all these cases and Napoli just played Genoa. Like, I'm sure they know. At the end of the day,
yeah.
Juve management and Agnelli, I'm sure they know that. Like, they probably.
Well, you know, they came to their senses because they had every right to step out onto the field, kick off the ball, stand there for 45 minutes, and get the 3-0 win. For the time being, because it's going to be reviewed, right? They had every right to do so, and they didn't. So they did come to their senses, and you have to give them some. You have to tip their hat to them for at least that aspect.
I didn't appreciate the whole spectacle, to be honest, at all.
I didn't appreciate the spectacle. That's what I was going to say. Because everything leading up to it, unnecessary.
Even for Serie A as a league, the fact that they let that happen is embarrassing. We already get made fun of. I'm not talking about Nap. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a league that we get made fun of by the British. So many people that watch football, they call us a farmers league. And honestly, we're showing that we're a farmers league. Whether that's Napoli's fault, whether that's Serie A's fault, it's terrible. Like, you got to have a league that's more assertive and more organized than what they're showing right now. Like, it's ridiculous.
I think the only reason why they didn't say anything is because they never officially put out a statement that the match would be either postponed or played, right? They never really had that communication out.
Who's that?
So,
Serie A?
The league. Serie A.
Exactly.
So
the league said
it's the league's fault.
Forward. So what can you do?
Juventus is under the impression that the game's going forward, so they're going to do what they normally do, right? My problem, and I'm shifting my focus away now from Juventus. I said my piece about them. I know they're not really in the wrong here other than that one aspect, but my shift is not towards the league.
But protocol-y or by the rules?
Rules, they're fine, yeah. Another thing to pick out about them is some of the bad apples in their fan base, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later after I get onto this. Yeah, it's actually unfathomable the amount of idiotic statements that I've seen come out of that fan base.
Social media, but yeah, what can you do? You always tend to see the bad ones. The good ones exist, but you the bad ones stick out, right?
Oh, there's tons of good ones. Tons. And I've interacted with them too. Then I've also interacted with the bad ones. And honest to God, man, I've been for like the past two, three days now. All I've been doing is arguing. Honestly, I'm wasting my own time. I know I am. But I've just been arguing with them.
At a point, I don't even look anymore. I don't care.
You have to disconnect at some point. Yes. But now my shift is towards the league.
That's the main
What in God's name do they think when they have board meetings? Do they even have board meetings? Do they even interact with each other at this point? Because it seems like there is no sense of communication even amongst themselves, right? They let it happen. This wasn't 24 hours, 12 hours. They let it happen for 2 to 3 days. They just kept dragging it on.
Yep.
They just kept dragging it on. And said, hey, maybe it'll work itself out later. Because, you know, that's the Italian way, too. They just let it fight. Just let it go. Let it keep going. No, you have to stop it. After the Genoa match, which a lot of people lacked foresight in because they were saying it's only one or two cases, like we said before. No, it's not. Those are the only confirmed cases. You don't know how many unconfirmed they are. Well, right? Exactly.
There's an incubation period. That's how viruses work, right?
So when you're looking back at the Genoa match, right, you do a little case study. You go, Genoa has only had two players positive. They only had two players positive before the match. 2 days later, they have 14. And 8 of the 11 were on the pitch, meaning that 22 players, including referees and staff, have now been exposed to the virus. Maybe we should stop it. Maybe we should take some sort of form of accountability and just pause further matches, at least for those teams, at least for those two teams,
Genoa and Napoli, and the referees that were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Quarantine yourself.
And whoever else might have been in contact there, yeah. Like the stadium attendants, all that, right? Yeah. So you go, maybe, just a thought, right? Maybe you do something that is logical and say, these two teams to the side, 2 weeks, sort it out, isolate, get better, come back, all right? But no, because the league has the rules and everyone must respect the rules. Rules can be amended. Well, yeah. Rules can be amended. They can.
Oh, yeah.
They can be amended. So instead of having the rule here is you have to have 13 players and at least one goalie to play. That makes that rule is just illogical when you're looking back on it now.
That's a really dumb.
It's illogical when you're looking back on it now, because 13 players is not a precautionary measure for upcoming cases. 13 players. Yeah, I don't know why it took so long to remember that word. Anyways, so late. 13 players, including one goalie, is kind of idiotic to me. Instead, the rule should be a certain amount of positive cases should result in a suspension from a match, not 13 players minimum.
You're not talking about players that are tired or injured. You're talking about infected players in a global pandemic that are interacting with their team, which is basically like their family, all the time.
Exactly. They spend more time with the team than they do their family, to be honest. Oh,
no, 100%. Like, I don't know. I think the whole protocol, the whole rules for the COVID, and I get it was probably in consultation with health officials, but obviously I think that when they're making these rules, they're trying to make sure that these games aren't being canceled. They're trying to make sure the games are being played. Yeah. They're trying to make sure that their profession keeps on, trudging on. But
yeah, but if you follow it this way, right?
Yeah.
Instead of taking out a whole league, you're taking out one or two teams.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're not. Otherwise, if you use this rule and there's false negatives that occur within testing. And they continue to interact.
Exactly.
The whole league is going to get infected at some point. That's
it. If not, I'm telling you right now, Carm, if Napoli plays Juve, and I guarantee you in a week or two, we are talking about Serie A pausing for a while.
No, I can guarantee that.
Worst case scenario.
You know.
Like, what's the...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
There's one thing that if that... It's always a worst case scenario, but let's say that situation does happen. Who gets blamed?
We get blamed 100,000%. If Napoli goes to Torino and Cristiano Ronaldo and all of Juventus gets infected, they say, oh, effing Napoli, oh, come and bring coronavirus to Torino. And then we're going to get made fun of for the next 20 years in stadiums about
lose-lose. Lose-lose. It's a lose-lose, really.
It is a lose-lose.
That's why...
It's another day.
This is also another way for the league to cover their ass, too, so...
Yeah.
But, like, it just...
One thing I gotta say is, you know, to be fair, like, I've been ragging on Serie A, I've been ragging on Juve. Napoli has been radio silence on everything, which I believe is absolutely terrible. Like, absolutely professional.
Not necessarily.
Okay, I know you're going to bring up the whole fact that, like, they might be in a legal thing or something like that, and they don't want to make comments. But, you know, they didn't make their direction really known. Like, we were going towards, you know, oh, is Napoli on a plane going to Torino? They're not going. They could have at least said, hey, we are not participating in tomorrow's game. We're still in Campania. We're self-isolating. Just issue that statement. Period.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I see where you're coming from, but you know what I'm about to say, right?
I know what you're about
to say. It's a legal battle.
Yeah, it's a legal battle.
It's a legal battle. When you're in a legal battle, it's advised that you don't speak about certain aspects of the case. And I believe that whatever happened at the airport is a crucial factor for the case. So they can't really say anything about that. But, yeah, I agree. They should have at least said...
Tell us what you're doing.
They can't really do it, though, because if they do, then... If they do, and then they go to court, and there's something that is portrayed that can backfire, well, then they just screw themselves over that one comment, right?
My next question is, do you think... What do you think is the outcome of this? Do you think the game gets postponed and rescheduled, or do you think that we're dropping 3 points? Which we could be dropping 3 points anyways. You don't know how the game would have turned out, but obviously I'd rather lose on the field than lose on the table. So
yeah. What I'm going to say, if everything that I've read... Well, okay, here's another thing. There's a lot of misinformation, so I have to go to verified sources. I have to look at the league, the statements released by the Campania region, ASL, all that sort of stuff. I have to go to somewhat more credible sources.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to definitely.
Yeah. If it's what I've read and what I've seen, then the match is rescheduled. If in the off chance that this situation isn't what it seems, then we lose 3-0.
So what is the scenario? Like what has to be proven for Napoli to be penalized 3 points and lose that game?
They were allowed to leave, and De Laurentiis had something to do with it, which by no means is, in my eyes,
I don't
fathom.
I mean, anything is possible. Nothing's been proven, but I highly doubt it.
Because what's the reason that we lost three players? They were covered anyways. We had the people to cover them. It didn't matter. It's
one of the deepest Napoli squads I've seen in a long, maybe in my whole life, to be totally honest. And we were coming off a 6-0 win, and we're very informed. We have an informed a full team in form. We have our back line intact. Very capable substitutes for those players that are out. I don't think that we are cowarding from this game at all. And especially with a coach like Gattuso, I don't think Gattuso would allow that to even be a possibility.
Gattuso would allow that to happen over his dead body. That's it. You'd have to kill him before he allowed that. He has way too much pride. He would not allow that to happen. Let's just say Aurelio did have something to do with it. I think Gattuso would have turned around, slapped him, got on the plane, and flew to Turin. Because there is no way he's going to miss that game. Especially a game that's important for the season. It determines what happens for the next couple months at least.
They wouldn't want to risk a 3-0. I don't think Napoli would want to lose 3 points.
What's the benefit of it?
Zero.
You lose 3 points, you go down in the table, and now your goal differential is screwed up too.
No, there's no way that we would even risk that. Like, listen, I know De Laurentiis is a lot of things. You know, a lot of the accusations made on him, I could see, you know, maybe people have decent reason to think certain things about him. I highly doubt that he would not want this game to be played, or he would want this game to be, at risk to not be played and to lose 3 points in the table. I really, really highly doubt it, because obviously Napoli Juve is a big ticket match. It's watched worldwide by a lot of people, you know, fans, neutrals. He would definitely want this game to be played, in my opinion.
It's an exciting, high energy match that people want to see.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for the last 2 weeks I've been waiting for this match too. Especially last week after the Genoa win, I'm like, we just smashed this team 6-0. Can you just imagine what we're gonna do next week? That was my thought. I was ready for it. I've said this before. Oh yeah, on your birthday too. Which, by the way, happy belated. Hope you had a good one.
I didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, other than that, I hope you had a good day.
Yeah, there's no complaints. couldn't have
really because
of COVID, but
oddly enough, I think we were supposed to watch that match in your garage, weren't we?
Yeah, we were supposed to have a get together, which
yeah.
Because of COVID, you were blocked from traveling to my house.
I was so, because of a COVID risk, I was blocked from traveling to your house. Hey, you am I going to be penalized for that?
I need some documentation because I don't know. I think you could have came. I think you're lying.
What am I going to be? Are you going to deduct money from my account?
Yes.
Man. Anyways, as I was saying, there was no way that match would have been postponed by any means possible because of just the whole situation leading up to it. Juve have looked very, I don't want to say poor, but they have not looked good.
They haven't looked especially, like a dominant, you know, obviously you take it with a grain of salt because they have a new coach and they have a few new players, but they haven't looked like they've been, like, you know, dominating anybody. Obviously, that game against Roma was...
Roma should have won.
Roma is... I don't even know how they tied that game. But, yeah, they definitely should have won that game. They ate a lot of chances. Dzeko ate a ton of chances that game. But,
yeah.
You know, Juve... I was not scared to play Juve. Even with Insigne, even with Zielinski, even with Elmas, which I don't even think Elmas should have played on that left wing anyways. I thought... Lozano should have played that wing, and then Politano should play the other wing. But that's probably what would have happened anyway. So, I definitely wasn't. I wasn't scared, and usually I would be the one who would be worried about this game. I highly doubt that the team was scared to go and play.
And not only that, Juventus was in a worse off position player wise than we were.
Oh yeah,
they were missing De Ligt. Rabiot had a red. Bernardeschi wasn't playing. Okay, Bernardeschi already is just like, it's whatever, right?
But yeah.
two of your starters were already out too. And those starters are important for your squad because now you have Danilo playing center back instead of Matthias De Ligt. You have Rabiot, who is your starting center mid, on a red card. So you're probably going to play Bentancur, McKinney, Ramsey, right? Then who are your backups? Who do you bring on after? They had nobody. They were lacking in the mid.
See, you know what? Kudos to them. They know they, and this is where I think that some fans' views are flawed. I don't think it's Napoli that was scared to play. I don't think Juve was scared to play, but Juve was, you know, obviously if they're looking objectively, they're gonna think, okay, we're avoiding playing an informed Napoli side. We can, you know, maybe take 3 points early in the season with our, you know, fresh, brand new coach that, you know, is inexperienced, even though he's a legend on the field. He's an inexperienced coach. And against the top team, we could get 3 points on the table. You know, let's try it. Let's go for it. I don't think that's,
Napoli
being scared. I think that's Juve being opportunistic in a sense.
They were. They were for sure because and I might have jinxed it for the next match, but I thought if that match were to have happened, we would have won at least 2-1, 3-1.
I don't know, dude. I mean, I think we play good. Obviously, that game, Juve-Napoli and Torino, you know, sometimes stuff happens or – people can have bad games, and it's not an easy game to play Torino. It's not easy to play against CR7. I think that we play a really good game. I don't know. I think we might win. We may tie. Like, I don't think.
I was confident.
I don't think we lose by a lot. I think that we actually. There's a good chance that we win. I think, based off of our.
I think, a 2-1, 3-1 win is not unreasonable.
No.
Not especially with the form that we were going in and the form that Juve was going in.
Yeah. I mean,
and plus, like last season, we beat Juventus 2-1 at home with a squad that was like essentially last season, it was a broken squad that really had nothing to play for.
That's it.
And we beat Juve at home, and then we beat them again for a Coppa Italia. So we won a cup in one of our worst seasons against the squad that we were apparently afraid to play this time around, even though we were better for.
Nowhere near as complete as it is right now, even without those players that we named.
Exactly.
Nowhere near as complete. That being said, let's see what happens. Hopefully, everything gets sorted out with this COVID situation, and that's the most important thing. You know, 3 points is 3 points, but it's just 3 points. I hope that, the teams get healthy after the international break, and, we can fully focus on just playing calcio. That's what's the most important. We'll see what happens with this court situation, but I'm number one thing I'm hoping for is that all the teams sort out the COVID cases and we can have a good season. That's the most important thing.
That's all you can hope for. Like putting rivalries aside and putting everything aside, it just
doesn't matter.
I just want to watch Serie A Calcio with healthy players.
I want
healthy staff, healthy.
Not just Napoli. I want everyone. I want Napoli to be able to play a Juventus that's healthy. I want all the teams to be at their full capacity. So
at the end of the day,
you can be like, you know what? We played an honest season and everyone was at full strength. And, you don't have to throw out asterisks and say, oh, well, this so-and-so didn't play this game or we had this many cases and we had to shut down. Let's hope that we can get a good season together. And this is just a little hiccup, not like a big thing. Because it's still early in the season.
Exactly. Health above everything else. It doesn't matter. Definitely. Put everything aside. Health is very important. It's much more important than any sort of stupid game that's about to happen, right? Especially when you're talking about a virus that's killed 1 million people worldwide, right? It's just everything is secondary to that. Everything is secondary to health. So really, that's all you can hope for and wish that the Serie A takes initiative to change what is necessary. Exactly. Do whatever is necessary. Change the rules, whatever it is, so that not only just us, so that everyone is safe. It's the only way, really.
Yeah, because honestly, right now, I don't like the direction that we're heading in after the Genoa, I don't like the direction we're heading in. I haven't seen other leagues have had one or two cases. I haven't seen a top five league that's had a whole team to have positive cases like in Serie A. So they obviously have to sort something out, whether it's stricter protocols. If they want to play this season, they got to figure something out. Something's got to change.
The FIGC and Serie A have to have a serious sit down now in these 2 weeks.
Definitely. They got to figure this stuff out.
And review this stuff out. So, let's get on to quickly before we end here.
Yep.
A happier topic. Welcome Bakayoko, which is an amazing signing.
I almost forgot about that.
Oh, how could you? Well, you could. It's easy to forget with everything else going on.
Everything's tainted right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, Bakayoko, man, what a signing. That's such a... The deal that we got for it too is just absolutely amazing. I think somewhere between 3 and 5 million loan with an option to buy.
I thought that there wasn't an option to buy.
I think there's an option. Okay. I can't remember exactly.
I thought it was just a dry.
I think there's an option to buy. I have to relook at it. But even if there isn't, we have Bakayoko is such a good physical ball winning midfielder that when you have him in a system like the 4-2-3-1 where you have someone like Fabian or Gielu beside him, all he has to do is protect that player and play in a double pivot, which he does very effectively.
Especially
like, he's the perfect
very well.
Exactly. He's the perfect player for that position. Like having that Allen-esque player again. He's taller, more physical, and I think he's way heavier than Alan, at least by 20, 30 pounds, right? He's a force to be reckoned with at a holding midfield position.
Excited.
Me too. And what this does now, it allows our more creative players like Fabian and Zielu to be creative in the in the attacking phase, they don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Exactly, they don't have to worry about what's going to go on behind them because they're already covered behind them.
Exactly.
So it's a perfect. I'm glad that this
especially happened. If we're sticking with this 4-2-3-1 formation, which I love. He's a perfect player in that role. We also got the players to play 4-3-3. We have an abundance of depth and abundance of form, like, you know, different formations that we can. Yeah. So I'm feeling really confident, like, about even, you know, worst case scenario, say we get 3 points taken away or we lose the game. I still think that we're going to have a great season.
I believe in this team to at least make a serious run for Europa, to be quite honest, with the team that we have.
Oh, 100%.
I think really do believe that we can do it.
To be honest, I think they should target the Europa League. It would be nice to win a European trophy. They should make that a
priority. I agree. I mean, if, like, you have to prioritize stuff, and whether they want to prioritize Campionato or they want to prioritize Europa League, if you prioritize at least one of them, I can guarantee you that they'll come out with a trophy this year if they prioritize it. So if they prioritize Campeonato, I think they could come out with a Scudetto this year. They prioritize Europa, they could come out with a Europa.
It looks pretty
open. It looks open, but if they've already hit the ground running, they just got to keep their foot on the pedal and just keep going. They have to be dedicated to one thing or the other. You could have it both ways. It just makes it harder.
They have a deep enough team to compete in, I think, both competitions. But
it just makes it harder, right?
I'm going to
and go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you one thing. The one team in Serie A that I worry about, not even Juve, not Inter, is Atalanta.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that was coming. I do too.
They're beating everybody like four goals every game. Like, these guys are unbelievable. I think they're legit this year. I think if there's a team that is the team to beat this year, it's Atalanta. I don't know, man. Take some pee-pee tests after the game.
They're scary.
Something, man.
They are scary.
It's like the Monstars.
They're drinking Mike's secret stuff.
Yeah, they got some Gasperini secret stuff in the locker room.
Gasperini's secret stuff. Yeah, they look scary. They look really, and we play them after the inter.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
We play them after the international break, so that's gonna be a scary match. But like that system that they run, it's
hey Carm, that's a good measuring stick game right there.
That is a very good measuring stick. I agree.
100%. They're because to measure yourself against.
I mean, so far we haven't really had much competition. Like Genoa's okay, Parma's okay. Like they're teams that we can beat.
I mean, scoring 6 goals on any team is like, whoa, you know. But
yeah.
Going up
against a team like Atalanta, which they have, I think, 18 goals so far. It's like 3 matches. Or no, more than that. They have more than that.
Oh, my God.
And 3 matches is absolutely absurd, amount of goals that they have.
But did you see how much money they make and they have this team still? Like, they have an abundance of these players that they're just like this well-oiled machine all of a sudden. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're fairly young, most of them.
Like, Darun is not, I think he's like somewhere in his mid-20s. Malinovsky's like 20. Papu's like 30-something. But he regardless, doesn't matter. Papu's putting in 2 goals a game. He's putting in 2 goals a game. Doesn't matter who it is. He's putting in 2 goals and an assist.
They're scary. They're really fun to watch. Yeah, it's scary to play against them. If I was a player, I'd be really like, you shouldn't be scared to play a team, but I'd be like, okay, like, we gotta bring our freaking A game, or else we're gonna get slapped. Like, I'd be scared to get slapped 5 goals, 6 goals by Atalanta.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That's it's something you have to keep in mind. But if you play that team, I don't know. Like, last season we held them to like a couple goals.
Last season, this fixture that's happening right now was literally one of the worst days of my life. I was so upset.
Yep.
Holy
yep.
shit.
That penalty call is still haunts me to this day.
Yeah,
tackles him in the. It's just. Still held him to like 2 goals, 3 goals, whatever it was.
He played amazing against them, dude. And that was the game. That was the game that screwed the whole season up last year.
It was. Yeah, it definitely deflated our morale, which is another big thing I want to point out for this season, right? If let's say we would have played the Juve match, if we would have won the Juve match, I think there was. Even if we won the Juve match and the Atalanta match, let me group them together, there was no stopping us.
Yeah.
It was just going to be a freight train all the way through to December. Maybe Inter would have gave us a really tough time. But even then, maybe a 1-0 win, even a draw I would have been okay with. 1-1, 0-0.
I don't like...
Right?
Against the top teams, against Inter, against... Juve, against Atalanta, against those teams, you want to win those games, but you definitely don't want to lose those games. You don't want to get 3 points and take 3 points away from yourself. That's the main thing. That's what's lost Napoli's Scudettos. And then also the one odd game against Kiev
or Fiorentina
that screws you over, puts the final nail in the coffin. But at least that's a team that, you know, they're getting 3 points off of you, but it's not a top, you know, five team or top two team. Mm-hmm.
Ideally, when you're going into those matches, you want to win one, draw the other.
Yeah, you don't want to lose any game.
You don't want to lose. So you want to win one, you want to draw the other. So you have to make your pick. My pick is win early, draw the rest, right? Because if you win early, the rest of the season happens. They could drop points along the way.
Exactly.
And then what you're playing for is just letting them drop more points. It's a strategy to play to, right?
You don't want to be chasing at the end of the day.
You always want to be one step ahead of them. Always. At every turn, you always want to be one step ahead. But, yeah, it's just hopefully after the break, everything gets sorted out. Sure. Hopefully we get to see everyone back and healthy and playing again. I know we rambled on and on about the COVID or the COVID fiasco that just happened. And you know what? If you're Juventino right now and you think that we may have been a little bit too harsh, let us know. Let us know. We'd love to have this conversation. In fact, if you want to come on, we'd actually like to have you on. Whoever disagrees with any of our points, right? Well, just let us know. But it's definitely a conversation that had to happen, and something needs to happen within these next couple of weeks to make sure everything is resolved and sorted out. So, you know, having said that, let's just enjoy these 2 weeks. Enjoy the international break. If you're a Napoli fan, enjoy the Bakayoko signing because it's a big signing. Be excited for that. And just hope for the best. Definitely. All right. That's basically all we got for today. We'll probably be recording within the next week and a bit.
We'll probably have some reaction to whatever decision is made.
Yeah, for sure.
Do an update or. Hopefully there's not any more bad news in terms of COVID. Hopefully, you know, we have some better positive things to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. So with that being said, thanks for listening in again. And Forza Napoli sempre.
Ciao.
Ciao.